cliffcentral.com.
And it's good morning to you and to you, and especially to you, as beautiful day here in Johannesburg. Really, summer is in the air, and it's very good to be with you here on Spotlight. My name is Alan Ford here on cliffcentral.com, and we've got a great show lined up for you. If you've joined us today, we're going to chat to the guy, one of the performers from Dire Straits, the Dire Straits Experience. He has performed with Paul McCartney across the world many, many years ago, and now... Well, I mean, here comes Johnny singing Oldies Goldies. That's how it goes. Just having the magic 120 million albums sold. And they're on tonight in Pretoria at the Times Square Arena. And so we're going to chat to them. We're going to talk to Chris White from Dire Straits Experience. It's going to be great. They have performed with people. I mean, he's just incredible. What a band. And you know, if I'm not mistaken, in a documentary about Princess Diana, this was her favorite band in the whole world. So, 120 million albums. I think that's a real highlight for the show. Now, Josh Ansley's not in studio. So I phoned him. And I said, Josh, I hope you know we've got Dire Straits on the show and you're not here as a rocker. And he was just very... very perturbed, but Josh couldn't be with us today, but he comes back in next week. He's my new foil. He's my jukebox. He plays music for us. And that, of course, that great show, Rock of Ages, is still happening, and it's rocking the city of Johannesburg. And we'll chat to Vesen Udendahl, who is the musical director and associate producer, and he's done so much. He's in studio with us. We'll also talk to one of the stars, Lara Kleinhans, and we'll chat to her in a moment's time. We'll also speak to Peter Dirk Ace, Tani Evita Pasenho, who comes to Johannesburg this week for The Echo of a Noise, and we'll talk about the most phenomenal dinner experience that I've had, I think, in my life. And it's hard, and I've been all over the world. And we'll talk to Dinner Time Stories SA. So that's all happening on the show. But I do want to open up with something rather funny, something rather brilliant. And it's in Johannesburg at the moment. He's in Durban as we speak. Ben Foss stars in a show called Benny Bushwhacker, which is a satire take on how we react to the bush. As per se, all right, and different situations of nature, okay, and it was written by John van der Rett, of course, well known for Spud. I believe he's writing another book at the moment, and it was produced by Janice Honeyman, the one and only. So it's a showstopper, and welcome Ben Foss to the show, all the way from Durban. I know the show's not in Durban, but you're taking a break there. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Ben, tell us about the show. Who is Benny Bushwhacker?
Benny Bushwhacker is a rather insane but wonderful human being who grew up in the bush. He ran away from school when he was 10, mm-hmm. and he kept ending up in the middle of the bush outside the Craddock, where he grew up with his grandmother. And he's been in the bush for like 25 years, and he's decided to come out and tell people why they should try and conserve it. From the perspective of a guy who has a standard 4 education, although I suppose you've got to remember that Jacob Zuma has a standard 3 education, so that's probably not a bad thing. I think Jacob probably should have done one more year, though, because I think in standard 4, or Benny at least in standard 4, learned not to take other oak stuff, whereas Zuma didn't learn that lesson.
Well, hold on. So let me ask you this question. Yeah. You're a phenomenal, well-known actor. You've starred in Green Mamba, Black Mamba, Mamba Republic, Bended Like the Beauty and the BEE. I mean, well-known comedian and satirist. And, of course, have you worked closely with John van der Rett? John van der Rett, do you know each other well?
Yeah, very well. Johnny was actually the best man at my wedding.
Okay.
And so he's a really good friend, but we started as creative friends primarily. Like, we actually produced a show, like, I'm telling you, like, years ago in Durban. We produced a little show of Oedipus the King, mm-hmm. which is like the Greek tragedy. And I was playing Oedipus, but I was working as an engineer at the time. So I would drive all the way from my engineering job all the way into Durban for lunch hour, perform Oedipus, take off my overalls, perform Oedipus, go back. And Johnny was cast as the shepherd in his third year at varsity. Mm-hmm. And for some bizarre reason, Oedipus and the shepherd got on exceptionally well. Mm-hmm. And we just hit it off and had fat chats backstage about John Cleese and comedy and not the 9 o'clock news, and then we'd walk on stage and go and belt out this tragedy. So it was quite a strange place to have met and to have sort of connected on comedy, but we did. That was when we were he must have been 20 and I must have been 22 or something.
It must be great to speak and act to his work. I mean, to his, when he writes stuff for you, because he really is a superb writer. I mean, and we've seen this go around the globe. And I believe also Spud the Musical's now coming. I believe that he's working on something like that. It should be fascinating.
Yeah, he's been working on Spud the Musical. I don't know if I'll be in that. I don't think my singing voice is going to qualify.
but it must be great to work with Janice Honeyman, the likes of... I mean, this is a... And this is really funny stuff, this show, because this show talks to how human beings behave in the natural surroundings.
Yeah. So what I do, Benny's not really, Benny's funny, but he's not like actually the funny, the funny bit of the show. I heard you talking that you got a new foil coming on your show, and Benny's in a funny way, he's in a way the foil, and then the really funny guys are... the people that we meet in the bush, so like some millennial and stuck in the middle of some wilderness without any reception is funny, right? Some teenager who can't get hold of his home. I play a guy like that. I play, the big, the nonsense guy who sits around the fire, at the Skakuza camping site with his belly out and his beer out and never leaves the camping site because actually he's too lazy to even get into his 3 million rand 4x4 and go for a drive to look for something. But yet he's got all the bush stories, and he waxes lyrical about leopard eating out of the palm of his hand and crap like that. And then you've got, the Santon mommy who's trying to be the forward-thinking recycler, but in the process is killing a snake in her recycling cupboard because she's so terrified of it, so all these sort of controversial and offbeat characters that you meet that are associated with the bush that funny way harming the experience of conservation. And then Benny tries to bring us back to normal and say, sheep, let's not try and end up like these people. Perhaps there's something else we can do. So that's where the comedy comes from. Benny's more the straight man, and then those foils jump in and out and give their own opinion on it. So I play about 14 characters,
So Ben, there is a character that I know that you don't speak to, but I do think that maybe when you do this again, it maybe could be written into the production now.
Yeah, go on.
And let me tell you what it is. Girls needing to pee in the bush on a game drive is got to be one.
That's
one of the things I think you have to explore. Because boys just whiz. There we go. Okay, whatever. And then girls have got to go behind a tree where there's a snake and a lion, and how you got to walk with them, and they need a wee, and then there's
not. So true.
They've got a drip dry. It's a very funny piece. Trust me on this one.
And they panic, man. And I was on a walk recently. I was on a wilderness trail with 5 Scots men and women, and we had to, you had to go use the spade, to dig, to do anything of that. You had to go and use the spade. Everyone waited until the 5th day, until they couldn't hold it in anymore, and then they would go and dig out. And it's actually a very funny thing how it's such a natural thing, but people are so
weird about it.
Weird about how they're going to do it. And oh gosh, where am I going to touch? And where am I going to sit? And where am I going to look?
But boys don't have the problem, because boys just stand and whiz. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, for the whiz. I'm talking about the number 2 here, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about the second.
I know. This is really going in a cuck direction.
I know.
This is a cuck interview.
This is a cuck conversation.
But I will tell you something interesting, Ben, is that, when you... I did a big hike once for charity with the South African Chefs Association. And again, the same story. And then you think, how are you going to do this thing? So your first 2 days are constipated. And then you realize this and you've got to go.
You've got to go the minute you need it, man. Your body doesn't think
funny, but if you were drunk, you'd be fine. Somehow it would work because you'd have no inhibitions. Yeah. But so Ben, I think there is a talking point. I'm not telling you what, just something to think about when you do the second or third run.
Well, I actually appreciate that. I think that's funny. And also the fact that most of our conversation has been around it.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Besides the other thing,
I think that it might be right. Who cares about the genius of the writers and the actors?
Sorry,
let's
talk
about
it.
Cuck.
Ben, tell me some more about who are some of the other characters that you love playing in this.
That jump in there. one guy who's really grown on me, who used to be a Brit, but I've turned him into a German, is I've got this German lodge owner who's Klaus Weber. And he's like, what I like about him is he's a German who, you know, we all think Germans don't have a sense of humor. And he's out to prove that Germans do have a sense of humor. But obviously, in the process, he proves that they don't. So his jokes, he expects everybody to laugh at his jokes. And nobody laughs at the jokes. Even the audience don't laugh at his jokes, but they laugh at his reaction to his jokes, like how he tries to force the audience to laugh. So I really like him. And he's the guy who gives Benny his first job. I'm very fond of him. I also play like the millennial. I really like this entitled, like, you know, gender unspecific, flamboyant haired 17-year-old who's just completely entitled and sitting and having an absolute meltdown that he's got like no reception, bro. It's like, oh, just breaking his heart. And then there's
I'm a bush freak, so you see these characters when you're in the bush all the time. It's the funniest thing.
Yeah.
And so I've got it, Ben. I don't want to give too much away because people need to go and see the show. But I think the secret here is that if you love the bush and you love to have the experience of seeing how human beings behave in nature, this is a show for you.
That's it. That's pretty much you've hit it on the head. Yeah. So it's not a serious. I mean, there's a little message in it, but it's certainly not a serious evening out. You come and have a good laugh at all the quirky characters that inhabit their natural world, from rangers to mommies to kids to dads to, you know, boozy campsiters to, you know, how a Cape Tonian might not feel out of the fame bus, you know, So it is. It's a whole mishmash of lovely characters that Benny sort of hosts and takes you through. And in the process, we learn about Benny and his life.
Benny Bushwacker, Ben Force, is happening at the Studio Theatre at the Peter Turin in Monte Cassino. I wanted to just say also other great things coming up. How's Durban, by the way? I know you're just there for the weekend or the week.
I heard
whatever,
you saying, no, it's nice, man. Look, I like Durban. I really do, as long as I can be performing in Joburg and Cape Town.
I love it.
Otherwise, it feels a little small. But I do adore being here. The weather is a bit of a dog show today, but I believe it's lovely up there. So,
but you come back. You back tomorrow, aren't you? So yeah, we'll see you back.
Yeah, back tomorrow. Back tomorrow. I got a show tomorrow evening. So
and where does the show go to next? Where does it go next?
I'm going to Port Elizabeth for the next week. Like I leave straight from Joburg to PE, and then I go to Maritzburg for a week, and then I go to Pretoria. Pretoria is the big one, actually. People at the Atterbury can see me in November at the Atterbury, and then I go to
Cape Town
over Christmas and New Year for 6 weeks, like long haul.
Are you performing there?
Yeah, okay. Performing there for 6 weeks. Yeah, well, that's the theatre.
That's going to be at the Baxter. Well, I've got to just tell you something. I'm happy to say people wherever, because we've got people listening throughout the world and of course throughout South Africa. Benny Bushwacker, we're in your city. And this is just, again, the comedy's brilliant. You're brilliant, and it's just a great, great laugh. And if you love South Africa, you love the bush, and you love bush experiences, you're going to love the interpretation, the way people react to it. That's what the show is about. Ben Foss, thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Come into studio next time, eh? Come in.
Yeah, I was desperate to come in, I must say. I'm sorry I'm in Durbs. Anyway, thank you so much.
What can you do? You've got the sea, you got the humidity. Yeah. Hey, you've got, you know, you got lots of things there. Okay.
I'm actually in my dressing gown.
And you got Jacob too. And you got Jacob Zuma. Enjoy.
And we got Jacob. Yeah, thanks,
man. The one and only Ben Force. Good to have him on the show with us. And in a moment's time, we'll talk to Peter Dirk Ace. But I want to welcome into studio Wessel Udendahl and Laura Kleinhans. Welcome to the show. And Wessel, so he's upstairs, you're downstairs, and you're across the street to some extent, because you've got Forever Plaids downstairs. Okay. Great opening night on Sunday.
Thank you.
The four voices are, you know, it was interesting. Someone said to me, they've seen the show when Richard Loring did it.
Yes.
At the soundstage. Mm. And then they said, and I remember actually seeing it then. And then someone said to me, when you see the show, as long as the harmonies are perfect, that's the key.
Yes.
That's the key. And the harmonies were perfect.
That's amazing.
Which is... And you couldn't be there. Okay, so the associate producer, the musical director, he couldn't be there because he's busy directing at Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, yes.
On the other side
of the road, yeah.
Across the street. Which is, so you've got a packed house this side, a packed house that. That's multitasking.
I think. Well, sometimes you have to be a multitasker to make it, you know.
So we have someone, Ben's in Durban. You're originally from the Eastern Cape.
Yes, that's
where,
correct.
Where are you from?
Well, I was born in Port Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Ben just mentioned Port Elizabeth, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And the friendly people, yes. I hope I am testament to that.
Okay.
And then I sort of did my schooling at the Lady Grey Arts Academy, which is sort of a bit more northern side of the Eastern Cape. So I went to an art school there. It was pretty exciting.
So can you sing?
Yes. Does it sound like I can sing?
As a musical director, I'm sure you can. I know you can because I've seen him sing on stage before. I saw him playing and singing, and Here's to You, the tribute show to Simon and Garfunkel.
Well, luckily, as a musical director, you don't need to sing because you just have to tell people how to sing. You don't have to sing yourself. I don't have to. My bread and butter is not dependent on my singing
voice.
We
made a deal on Sunday.
What?
I'm going to make you sing. And he knows I'm going to do it.
You're so naughty.
He is the most. He's the one of them. Listen, I want to just read credits because credits are important. Because when you read someone's credentials, they are quite critical. So, when you have worked, first he has a degree in music, okay, cum laude. Just so you know, it's really important.
Where did you get that information?
I've got everything here. Don't worry about it.
You're okay. Sneaky.
Then he did Avenue Q, which was a huge success. I loved, by the way. That to me, I saw it. I've seen it twice in New York, and I saw it, I think, 5 times here.
Yeah,
obsessed with that show.
I loved it. I also loved that show.
Then you did the songbook, the Simon and Garfunkel. Here's to You. Then you've done Rock of Ages. You're Perfect. Hedwig and the Angry Inch, award winning, by the way. Well done on that one. Saturday Night Fever, International Tour of Greece, Jesus Christ Superstar. That's just to name a few. Now let's see if he sings.
No,
we're so naughty.
See, I think I'll only do it if you're gonna sing. Then we can sing a duet together.
What are we gonna sing? What are we gonna sing? Find something. Oh my goodness!
You're so naughty.
You got to find the song. Everyone sings for their supper, by the way. Everybody does.
I'll rather do something else for my supper. What else can I do for my supper, Alan?
Laura Clanons, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Moving swiftly along, clearly.
Swiftly along, and with a blush. How are you?
I'm well, thanks, and yourself?
Are you loving this production?
Oh, so much so. It's an absolute dream come true. Vessel was one of my lecturers at Oakfields College, and the fact that I get to work with him now is just an absolute dream come true.
Now, you're in the ensemble, great bunch of people. So when you're working with the blocks of... Listen, you've got a few crazies. I mean in a love kind of way.
Definitely. No,
besides
no.
You, who I know is a bit crazy. And Yaku, not 100% normal. But you've got Craig O'Barney.
Right.
You've got the likes of Josh Ansley. Mm. You've got Matthew Cunahan. You've got Niels Claassen. You've got so many other... Zach Hendricks, you can't get more insane
exactly.
than Zach. I mean, you've got Cito. All right.
Exactly.
He's actually quite normal compared to the...
A little bit more docile, but he's
but he's
got a very wicked sense of humor, that I can assure you.
I will say something wonderful about Cito, and of course, Cito's from Bonnaboom. He actually is the ultimate rocker.
Absolutely.
Of all time.
100%.
He is the dude. Mm. So, are you having fun with all these crazy people on stage?
It is... unreal.
Can you sing?
I can.
We're going to get you to sing.
She's the singer. You see.
We've got some of the guys from Rock of Ages in studio. We've just spoken to Ben Foss from Benny Bushwhacker. I'm so excited we can talk to the guys from Dire Straits. Chris White. They're here from the UK. Over 120 million albums sold. They're performing in Pretoria tonight. But this has got to be one of my favorite people on earth. He is my hero. And he comes up to Johannesburg to do the Echo of a Noise. The one and only Peter Dirk Ace. Peter Dirk, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are you? How's Darling?
Darling is fine. I'm in Cape Town at the moment.
Okay.
I'm staring after Table Mountain, and I'm so glad it's too big to steal.
Well, 500 billion rand later. Interesting, hey?
Oh, God. No, I'm very well. I'm coming up tomorrow, and I'm going to be up in here. Now, how's the things in Joburg? Are you people still okay?
We're still all right. Nothing major happening. Just as we get, weather's good. And I know you love performing to the Joburg audiences, and of course, you're doing The Echo of a Noise. Now, Peter Dirk, you must forgive me. I haven't seen the show. Tell us what it's about. What is it all about?
Well, it's a sort of a monologue of my life. It's just an extraordinary thing. It started as a one-night stand at the Grahamstown Festival in 2015. And it was reacted. The reaction was like, I just won the Soccer World Cup. And I thought, yes, what's happened here? And I sit on the chair and I tell you a story. And it just has been probably the most successful thing I've ever done. Because there's no mention of Malema, there's no Zuma, there's no, I don't think we even use the word apartheid. It's just about people and about our lives. You know, you will see your life in the frame that I give you, because we all have very similar experiences that are totally different, you know, with parents and with dreams and with fear and with happiness and with sex and without sex. And so that's what it is, the echo of a noise. So I'm very excited to be back in Joburg with it at the Balalaika Hotel, mm-hmm. which is also nice, and tell my story.
And now another piece of this is that you talk to the fact that your mom was Jewish. So you're an Afrikaans Jew.
I'm a Jewish Afrikaner. I belong to both chosen people.
I love it.
That was extraordinary. And we only found that out after she was dead. So, I mean, that was a secret that was kept. And, I mean, you know, one's life, actually, when you look back, and I look back as a Calvinist Afrikaans boy and realize that most of my childhood was just secrets in dark corners. And trying to find out the truth now, after all these years, is also quite an adventure for me. And so that's also reflects many people's reactions to their lives as well. So, I like being 74 because the audition is over. You know, the disease to please has been cured.
Now, on one note, how is your dear friend, I mean, I know you don't get on that well, Tani Evita Besednote, how's she doing in her 80s?
Oh, she's doing fine. She's very busy. She's cooking away in the kitchen of Lutuli House, and she's looking after the faction fighters. She says they remind her so much of the National Party in the dying days of its power. She's got her Evita's free speech on YouTube every Sunday. So, I mean, she has her window to the world as well, which is very nice.
And I know there's no room for retirement yet. We almost saw that she died recently in the last show. But
retirement is a word we can't spell in any of the 11 languages. So we carry on until we don't carry on, you know.
This piece, The Echo of a Noise, talks to your life, talks to who you are. And here is a question I would love to know. If the 74-year-old Peter Dirk Ace was talking to the 24-year-old Peter Dirk Ace, in all that, what would you say to him in retrospect?
That's a very good question, because I sometimes think to myself, if I had known what I know now, I would have taken a different turning. And I think fear controlled my life, and I don't wish fear on anybody. But, you know, because I was so scared of so many things, I didn't take chances, and therefore I'm still alive. I mean, just think sexually, you know, in the 80s with HIV around and with one's own experimental adventures there. I mean, it could have just been the end of the line, but because I was so poop scared every time standing thinking, oh, what, can I do that? How do you do that? Must I do that now? I'd rather have Goulding. and another piece of advice is be careful of advice. You know, I listen to older people because people told me they knew better. Well, I'm an older person now, and we don't know better. You know, so always listen to advice and get a second opinion. That's what I'd say to myself if I saw myself again at the age of 17.
And I think that's what this talks to. I think it talks to it's nice to reflect on one's life, and it's nice to you know, Peter, we're always very happy to laugh with you and to hear the satire of politics with you. But sometimes to know someone's life story and journey, gives you so much insight into who they are, because that has to be honest. It's got to be to reveal the truth. Demi Moore recently came out with a book where she talks about being her basically her mother sold her for sex because her mother was an alcoholic, and they needed money, so she said, okay, we'll take my daughter. But I mean, no one knew that happened to Demi Moore. You know, you saw the superstar, but at the age of 16, that's what I'm... So it's fascinating when someone starts to reveal their life story, because I think it also gives you healing to some extent, and at least allows you to confront the truth.
And also sharing something that most of us don't talk about, and that is love. The love we have for our parents, the love we have for our heroes, the love we have for our pets. That sort of gives the balance, because when there's always bad news, there are two pieces of good news. And I always feel that the negative is so boring. I mean, to be negative and confront all the time is so damn exhausting, that it's much better to just take a deep breath and just watch a bird fly around and settle down on a branch and stare at you, and you know that that bird is thinking, who is that idiot sitting and looking at me? So, you know, I like silence. That's also something I've learned now in my life, is say less and listen more. And that's why, and in fact, later today I'm going to a school here in Cape Town, Westerford High School. They've invited me to come and talk to the school, which is one of the highlights of my life. I love having a chance to talk to young people. And I start off by saying, listen, I'm 74 and you are 16. Why didn't you make me feel 16? I'll make you feel 24. And suddenly the playing fields are leveled, and we can just talk about survival with humor. Always with humor.
And
not because it's funny, but because you're in charge. You know what I mean?
I love the work that you're doing, darling. Can people still see your shows up there and go to your Dieperon and all that lovely stuff?
Oh, absolutely. We on, you know, just go into my website, evita.co.za, and see where the shows are. And it's working well, and it's, yeah, very exciting. I love it. It's very nice. So I've got a very nice lot of stuff that I'm working on for next year. So I hope we'll see each other across the microphone then as well.
I can't wait to see you. You know that you're one of my favorites. You know I'm obsessed with you.
Thank you.
Seriously,
thank you. That's
seriously,
lovely.
I really
that's
am. Lovely. You know, I do. I said every time I really am. And the Echo of a Noise happens. I will be seeing it this weekend, so I'll see you after the show. It's happening at the Balalaika this coming weekend. And, of course, two shows only. You don't want to miss it.
It's Friday at 8 o'clock and Saturday at 3. It's good to have a show in the afternoon as well, so people can get home when the lights are still on. I mean, the sunlights are still on, not the police lights flashing, you know what I mean?
The one and only Peter Dirk Ace. Thank you for joining us, sir. And please send love to Tani Evita. Need to cook up a storm in Lutuli House. I think they had a roadblock around there today. I don't know. Something's going on with the taxi association.
Probably giving Cook sisters away.
Something like that.
Okay. Thanks, darling.
That's the one and only Peter Dirk Ace. Always wonderful to have Peter Dirk Ace on the show. Now, we have got the guys from Rock of Ages in studio. Vessel Udendahl, Laura Kleinhans. We're going to sing something, Laura. Laura,
not
because
sure.
Let me tell you why.
Why?
Have you heard of Skin Sense Day Spa?
No.
Do you like spa? Do you like massage?
I was born to be massaged.
Were you?
That's my purpose in life.
Okay, I want to tell you, none of us in the studio want to massage. I'm joking. That's why we didn't mean it like that. But I mean, we're going to give you a massage. I can tell you I love it, eh? Because you find these hot guys and you're like, would you want a massage? I'm like, here it is. It's a voucher. Valued, it's almost 700
real thing.
Oh, wow.
So you're going to sing.
Amazing.
So this is what
sure.
We've got to make you sing something. And you've got to help. Everyone's got to sing a bit along. Okay? And so
give me the key.
Now I'm going to find something from YouTube. This is how we do it.
Yeah, careful, Laura. Yeah.
I had prepped a song even because I was warned.
Oh, have you got it there?
No.
What's the song?
It was a cappella. I was just going to sing Don't Stop Believing.
Oh, we're doing that again. We've done it every single day on the show. Okay. All right. Remember we did Don't Stop Believing again?
We did.
Don't Stop Believing again. Okay.
I think we can do it again a different
version. Let's do Don't
Stop. My variation.
Okay, yeah. Let me hear it. And ladies and gentlemen, as we do this, just at 9:30 this morning, the one and only Laura Kleinhans. Go.
Alrighty. Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. And just a city boy born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere.
Wow. Well done.
Ooh la la.
Thank you so much.
Well done. And that is for you.
Did I earn it?
You earned it. Don't worry. We've got Vessel next. Don't worry about this one.
You can take your voucher.
Okay, exactly.
Don't worry.
Vessel's is coming. Skin Sense Day Spa in Rivonia, Johannesburg, hosts a comprehensive range of expert beauty treatments for women and men.
Thank you so much.
It's a space where every beauty need can be achieved, from a full body massage after a long day to just basically having your nails done and for a special occasion. Walk through the doors, feel as though you're in Bali. It's so zen. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And it's really superb. And this month, 10% of the proceeds from their specials will be donated to CANSA, the Cancer Association of South Africa. Let me do that again. CANSA, the Cancer Association of South Africa.
Wow.
Check out what's on offer at cliffcentral.com, or you can find out more at www.skinsense.co.za, where you can book the treatments or even shop online. Isn't that fun?
That's brilliant.
That's great.
Thank you so much.
Vessel, what are you going to do for me? Come on, Vessel.
You know what I can do for you? I can conduct you, and then you can sing something.
No, I'm going to do this quickly with you. Come on. So let's find out. What's one of your favorite songs to sing?
Simbamba.
What's that?
See, I knew that will floor you.
I'm on YouTube.
You're not going to find it on YouTube.
No, we're going to find something else. Should we do something from Simon and Garfunkel?
What do you want to do?
I don't know. What should we do? Let's sing a song together, everybody. What do you think? It's early in the morning. You are a musical director. Come up with something.
Well, you can sing Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Mm. It's a bit hard, but I mean, I could do it. No, you see, I'm time for an audition. I'm joking. Vessel, tell me about being a musical director. And and especially, you know, we have the last of Clifford Cooper, Brian Schimmel. I mean, the lists go on. Yeah. They're brilliant in this country.
Absolutely.
And of course, I mean, you've been around for a long period of time. Are you loving producing and musical directing? How's it working for you?
It's working pretty well. I guess the fortunate part of it, of producing, is also being able to produce work that I would have liked to have been the musical director for. So it's sort of goes both ways in that sense. So it's pretty nice to do work that you are passionate about instead of having to do work that you had to do rather than what you wanted to do, if that makes any sense. Yeah, so that's pretty cool. And Rock of Ages, for one, is one of those pieces, because I grew up in the 80s and I know the music pretty well, and it sort of is a not trip down memory lane for me.
So when you went to art school, what did you study? What were you, cum laude, at university? Did you have any instruments?
So at school I did my piano, I did a bit of singing as well. I sang choir and all of those sort of things. I played organ. The church organ was one of my instruments that I played. Yes. And then I decided to go study musical theatre at what was then known as the Pretoria Technicon. Mm-hmm. I did a year of that, and then I realized my sort of strength lies more on the music side of things. Mm-hmm. So I want to focus on the music, and then I went to go study my degree in music at University of Pretoria.
And how many instruments? You still play, obviously, piano is your...
Piano is my main focus. I do. Some of the shows that we've done before, I've written the music for, especially more sort of on the play side of things, but of incidental music for plays and those sort of things. Like The Mystery of Irma Vep that I wrote music for. So
that was also brilliant, eh?
That was a very fun project, yes.
That was a fun project. What a great comedy piece, by the way. So it's you've done so much, and of course we look at what I've loved what you and Yaku have done with your production company is that you've also done things that are slightly off the beaten track.
Yeah, okay. I guess one needs to have a balance. Yeah, I mean, you have to appeal to people who don't normally come to the theatre, but at the same time you want to also do work that people don't often see. So it's pretty exciting to be able to be in that position where you can do those sort of things.
So that's why Hedwig and the Angry Inch, I thought, Paul, the toy, just insane.
He is insane. He's absolutely
insane. And Jim, I mean, they were both brilliant.
Yeah.
And then you looked at The Mystery of Irma Vep. Again, you had Jonathan Rocksmith there starring with...
With Wesley.
Wesley.
Such a great duo.
Again, is the... strangest looking choreographer in the world, but brilliant choreographer.
Brilliant, yeah.
Brilliant, just, seriously. Yeah. I just mean you'd never, sometimes you're like, is he the, because it's just.
And at the same time, he's also the choreographer for Rock of Ages.
Yes.
He does the original choreography.
I mean.
So it's pretty amazing. Awesome to see the multifaceted side of him.
I said this when I was chatting to the guys in the studio, I've said it for years, everybody cross-pollinates across each other. Mm. And Laura, when did you finish school?
Last year. Yeah.
So have you realized that people know this one from this one and this one from... And that's why I said, don't sleep with anyone in the business, because it can be hard. Seriously, you can make things very... And I'm not saying that you're going to... I'm just... It makes things... I mean, you're only 12. But I mean, it makes... it makes things very, very... and weird.
Absolutely.
So don't screw someone over. Don't have affairs. Don't... And I'm reiterating this because you... It's so important to say this because you end up cross... pollinating in the market.
Exactly. But strangely enough, Laura, like she mentioned earlier, was a student of mine at Oakfields College. So I mean, by being her lecturer, I could see sort of the type of work ethic that she has, and I mean, that would have definitely influenced our decision in casting her in this production. So the fact that she was a hardworking student really bodes well for her. And if she didn't know me through the studying process, you know, that's
There's another,
so there's a cross-pollination.
There's another big lesson, because it's across this business and maybe across everything. But also don't believe your own PR. Yeah. Seriously don't.
I'm
telling you, if I can give you a life secret, don't think you're bigger than the shit. If you catch my drift.
Yeah.
Because in general, your times where you're flying, and that's life. In that book that Demi Moore wrote, okay, a well-known actress, as you know, across the world, from G.I. Jane to A Few Good Men, just phenomenal actress. Okay, but they don't cast her anymore because she's too old. So if she had, and she got a big business brain, but if she had an arrogant attitude, no one's going to want to work with you. And that's another lesson, I think. I don't know if you agree with it. I mean, you've worked with everybody from the greatest showman in general, here and a bit abroad, to, in particular, I mean, and haven't you realized that if you think you're bigger than the game, you're going to lose?
Absolutely. I mean, and in South Africa, we don't have a star system like they have anywhere else in the world or in the major sort of entertainment centers. So we have to use, you will go from being a chorus boy to being a lead in the next musical, but then the next one you would might have to step it down again, and so you have to be able to be able to work. You need to be open to those sort of things.
I've had radio shows, TV shows. I've seen people come and I've seen them go.
Absolutely.
Okay. I've produced as a producer, and it's particular, if you're hard to work with, can I tell you something? After the 10th show that you've done, Vessel, we can talk to this in some respect. After the 10th show, I promise you, we don't care how good you are. We are now had enough.
Yeah.
Duck. Take a hug. Right or wrong.
No, you're right.
Do you agree with
me? Yeah.
Here's your skin sense voucher.
Yay! Did I earn it?
Yes, because you just came. And so that's why when we do the show, I want to, you know, we have the greats. We're talking about Dire Straits. You're talking about Peter Dirk Ace. You're talking about phenomenal people. But just if we can be a learning, it's that if, and people listen to the show, just keep that in mind. It's just, just young people, whoever, across the board, as you heard Peter Dirk Ace, just remain humble, craft what you do, keep it going. And then also you must be able to seriously adjust and move. Okay. And don't throw tantrums. It's after the 10th one, no one's going to take notice. Seriously.
If you hone in on the skill, and if that is the most important thing, your skill and the art form, then nothing can go wrong in that respect.
Now I come to something that is quite incredible. Have you heard of Dinner Time Story South Africa?
No, but I'm
so I want to describe this to you. Okay. Yes. So you walk into this beautiful room, beautifully made up with these beautiful ornate French looking chairs. You're coming in for a 6-course dinner. There's a wine pairing if you wish, and you sit down, and in front of you is a book, okay, which is a storybook, you know, one of those old Disney storybooks that you see Pinocchio, it opens up. And then as you open this book up, a little chef pops out, and the chef's about 58 millimeters, okay, and he starts to talk to you in French, and he has this whole conversation as you look at him on your, in front of you, on your plate.
How is that possible?
Wait. We're going to get there now. And then he basically starts off discussing how he wants to find the best foods of the world. And he read a book by Marco Polo. And when he read the book by Marco Polo, he realized something called the spice route. And so he then takes you through a food journey, literally a food journey, this little chef. He gets onto a bird at one stage and flies from India through the Himalayas off to China. And in, you have the whole meal from India, then the whole meal from...
Wow.
And this is all... There's no 3D glasses. It's all happening in front... It is insane. How do you describe it, Paul Rossard?
Thank you, Alan.
And a former... Former teacher at a school.
Former teacher.
And then went off to Vegas and did events for years.
Yeah.
And now you're back in South Africa doing this incredible Dinner Time Stories essay.
Yeah, so Dinner Time Stories in the footsteps of Marco Polo, as you've described, takes our little chef, Le Petit Chef, from Marseille. He's this little down and out little chef who's trying to make it with a food stand, and creates him, or changes him, if you like, into the success story. But it's a journey of 7 courses of food where we take you through Marseille, we take you into Arabia, we take you into India, up the Himalayan mountains, Mount Everest, into China, and obviously then back to Marseille where we complete the journey.
At one point, okay, with the amuse-bouche, which is basically your canapé, all right, to some extent, or your pre-starter, he ends up on the seas.
Yeah.
Okay, because obviously Marco Polo started on in a ship, and so at one point the whole table turns into the ocean. Mm. All right, the whole table turns into the ocean. Now the lady across, it was so authentic. The lady across from me said, "I'm getting motion sickness."
Wow.
Seriously. No, but. And what a, so, and no, a whale jumps off the table into the sea, and you've got dolphins jumping in front of you. What's going on there? It's basically a projector.
Yeah, so we've got a projector. It's a specialized projector. It's been manipulated for us, and there's a lot of secrets and involved in the technical. Yeah. So basically, what we've done is we've taken augmented reality and we've combined that with 3D mapping. For the people that are not familiar with the terminology, augmented reality is very similar to when you put on the goggles and you literally become part of the action. You're in a shark cave and you're jumping around with sharks, and you can look around, and wherever you are, you can see everything in 3D. And then 3D mapping is basically projection onto unlevel surfaces so that it's completely in focus no matter what the depth is of the item that you're projecting onto. So there's no discomfort when you're watching the show at all. You don't need to wear the goggles. You don't need
to... No, there's none of that. It's the best.
Yeah.
I thought I'm going to wear 3D glasses. Mm-hmm. You know those stupid things?
Yeah.
Which annoy me. I can't watch those things. Mm-hmm. Drive me crazy. You know, when you're in the theater and you're rubbing your eyes and then you see the whole thing's weird. And then you're watching... No, this is... You can use your eyes and your glasses if you want
to. It feels real.
Yeah, so there's absolutely no discomfort to the guest who's enjoying this. And then obviously we've taken it to the next level as well. It's a 4D experience. So we stimulate every single one of the senses. So we've got the sight, obviously. We've got the sounds. The whole show is soundscaped. The scents come through as well. So no matter which part of the world you're experiencing at that one particular time, you actually can smell the scent of that area as well.
No, you sort of smell. You smell because the cardamom.
Yeah.
In India.
Yeah.
Sure. You can smell it. You go, what's going on? And then the food is absolutely delicious. You paired up with the Quarterman Hotel and Chef
Tristan Latou from the Quarterman Hotel, who's absolutely phenomenal. So between him and our little 58-centimeter toothpick-sized chef, the two of them make it happen 5 shows a week.
Let me say this very clearly. I have traveled, and I went off to Paris, and I was invited by Moët & Chandon to experience a dinner in a restaurant which was completely blackened. I mean, it was dark. And we were served by blind waiters and waitresses and blind chefs helping us.
Wow.
And we were eating. It was an incredible experience. I've had incredible experiences going off to Vegas, and I've seen lots of things like in South Africa, like Manu's and Gara, very special experience. I've seen dinner theatre. This is the best I've seen in the world.
Amazing.
Now that's... I mean, speaking
from experience.
I guess when you saw, if I had to see Barbara Streisand, maybe that would be.
Yeah.
Or Frank Sinatra, but he's not.
Well, I'm glad you're putting us on those levels. Yeah.
No, but it is on those levels. And I think, Paul, we've got to get that across. I have never seen anything like this in my life. Please take this guy. He's got to go. Please.
Oh, no, we've got to take
you've got to. You've got
that
to.
Sounds
you've
absolutely
got to see
amazing.
This thing.
I have
you,
to.
You got actually, he's so busy doing... Okay, can we make a deal? This is how
we do
business.
Yes, deal. Let's
okay,
do.
Firstly, I just loved and thank you for everything. Go and have a massage.
And you don't even know how much I need this massage, Alan.
Because of Skin Sense Day Spa, our wonderful sponsors
thank you.
Of the show. That's, so. But you guys have got to see this. So let's make a deal. He can get you backstage Rock of Ages.
Yes, please.
Are you keen for Rock of Ages?
More than.
Okay, so all right. And can he come to yours?
Definitely.
So can you swap?
Absolutely.
Okay.
No, we'll put him backstage in the kitchen. It's not a problem.
And it is such
you can conduct in the back room.
Absolutely, absolutely brilliant. And I'm so happy that you guys are in studio. Dinner Time Stories yesterday, but we're going to have some more conversation in a moment. I want to welcome possibly one of the most phenomenal musicians in the world. Now, we have the show is about music, the show is about entertainment, the show is, and we go across the world with this production. And of course, we talk about music theatre and dinner, but we have a rock show happening, not Rock of Ages happening at the Teatro, but in Pretoria, we've got the Dire Straits Experience. Chris White has been with the band forever, to some extent, and of course has performed all over the world from Dire Straits. Chris White, welcome to the show.
Good morning, how are you?
I am so honored to have you. I am so happy you are here. Welcome to South Africa. Have you been here before?
Only once, very briefly. It's nice to be here for a bit longer and have a look around.
So, I mean, we're talking about some of the music of the 70s and 80s that people... I've always wanted to ask this to a top international musician as you are. What is your favorite Dire Straits song? you have to open with that.
I always have the same answer. There are lots that I like, actually. Three would be, for example, Private Investigations, Romeo and Juliet, and, well, I think Brothers in Arms is a really iconic track. But there are so many. Before I started working with Dire Straits, I was a fan of Dire Straits. So, you know, it's really hard for me to choose just one, really.
Now, you've toured the world and you've performed with Sir Paul McCartney, just to name but a few.
Yeah, I'm very lucky. I've had a great career. I spent a very long time with Mark and Dire Straits, but mm-hmm. I've also worked with Paul McCartney and Joe Cocker. Well, yeah, I've been very lucky. It's been great, actually.
I think to have such a blessed life. When you look at the music that they spoke to, the music that you speak to, that the music of Dire Straits speaks to, what do you think their message was? What were they trying to get across in the 70s and the 80s?
Oh, gosh. It was a time of change. Well, it was a time of huge change in the world with the events like Live Aid, for example. Mm. So those issues, I think, were being addressed by lots of people. I guess rock has always, music has always served the function of trying to allow young people to effect some kind of change in their lives. But also musically, things were developing. So for Dire Straits, advances in technology of instruments meant that you could go from a four-piece band to sounding like almost like an orchestra on some things, which was kind of what Mark really embraced, and how albums like Brothers in Arms became so different to things that had gone before.
Now, you look at some of the magic that you've done over the years. Different audiences act or react differently to your shows. Where have you loved performing?
This thing, what we're doing now, started 8 years ago as a one-off concert for a charity event in London at the Albert Hall. And it really was just going to be one show. Amazingly, it's rolled on from there and is continuing to grow. It's now a completely full-time job again, which is fantastic. Audiences do react differently. We were in Mozambique 2 nights ago. And the audience there, when we played So Far Away, a track called So Far Away, the audience sang it so loud we couldn't hear ourselves. It was incredible. In other places, it will be Sultans of Swing that will do that, or Your Latest Trick, or, you know. So, but thankfully, so far, everywhere, come the end of the night, everybody's up having a good time, which is the aim of it.
I mean, it's incredible to see your life, your career. I mean, the work that you've done, saxophone, flute, percussions, vocals. Chris, you play them all. You play a lot.
It's a busy old time on stage, yeah. But that's great. That suits me fine. Absolutely.
And again, obviously working with the guys from Dire Straits, Chris de Burg, Paul McCartney, Aztec Camera. You know, when you think about... Just think about working with just besides being a superstar yourself, but to work with Sir Paul McCartney and to work with these people across the world. I mean, does it get intimidating?
When I worked with them, they weren't famous, which is kind of except for Sir Paul McCartney, who was famous, and I was absolutely the only time I've ever been starstruck in my life. when I met him. But apart from that, we were all kind of young guys trying to get your young musicians trying to get our feet off, get our stuff off the ground, you know. So Aztec Camera were not the Aztec Camera that they are now. They were a new band, and so it was. You never knew what was going to hit, what wasn't, you know.
Personally, what do you listen to, Chris?
I try to listen to new stuff from the UK. There's some singer-songwriters that I kind of follow. My son is a musician. He's in a band, so I listen to his stuff, which is challenging sometimes. But I just try to keep listening to what's going on. It's a very healthy time in the UK for music, actually.
And I think that's the thing, because I think music always is transforming, always changing.
Yes.
And
yes.
While you have to keep up with that change, you've also got to recognize the magic of some of the old stuff that has to follow through. And because that's where music, I think, is a progression. Do you agree?
Yes, I do. I do. And I think you're absolutely right. There is some great new stuff, I think, coming up. But equally, you know, Mark Knopfler wrote for me some of the world's great songs, and they have endured is right, and people have moments in their lives which might be defined by a song or something like that, you know, and it's right that people want to revisit that.
Chris White, you said your son is in a band, and we spoke to some incredible people throughout the show, and I want to ask you this piece of advice. Young people getting into this business, what advice would you give them? What are the tools that will keep you sustainable? Irrelevant, well,
most of the musicians I know who have been doing it all their lives really have no option. It's what it's an obsession, really. It's a beautiful obsession. So you just have to dig in and keep doing and trust your instinct. It's a tough time for people now. It was much easier when I was starting to earn a living. To be able to earn a living and pay your way, that's really much more difficult now, and really the only big income stream is live work now. But you just have to dig in and keep doing it.
Tonight, the people are going to see you rock Pretoria, which is going to be superb. That Sun Arena is really, really, really great. So I think it's going to be just really cool stuff. Thank you for being in South Africa. Your fans are I'm one of your fans, so it's really good to have you on the show. And I must just say, I think it's people like yourselves that stand the test of time, that keep it relevant, keep it sustainable, but also keep that memory of great music alive. And I think that's what it's about.
Great. Well, we are all so looking forward to playing here tonight. I'm just about to pop across there and start warming up some saxophones in a minute. Let me finish this. Really, it's going to be. I'm so looking forward to it tonight.
Chris, are you ever too old, or do you never retire? Do you just carry on rocking? Let's ask the question.
Well,
I mean, you might ache a bit here and there. It happens. Don't worry. I mean, I'm only 40 and I'm aching a bit. But are you ever too old? Do you think?
Well, I don't. Live Aid was also my 30th birthday, which was stunning. So that makes me 64 now. Of course, in my head, I'm still about 28, really. So I hope all the bits keep working and I can still get up and do it until I fall over.
Well, we don't want you to fall over. Carry on rocking, my friend.
Thank you.
Dire Straits Experience. Dire Straits is in South Africa. Thank you for joining us on the line, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Don't miss. Get if you don't know, the show is happening at the Sun Arena at Times Square in Menden in Pretoria. Get the tickets. I'm going to rock tonight. It's going to be so much fun. And when you hear things like that, Vessel, gee whiz, how incredible!
No, it's wow, what an honor,
Josh Anzi.
He should have been in the
studio today.
He should have.
So I
could have done a duet together.
Yeah, that would have been great, actually. And I was about to make him sing on the line, but I thought that's so inappropriate. But I've made people do that before. I made Engelbert Humperdinck sing from the US.
Okay.
So we'd be crazier. Yeah. We're not 100% normal. If you are listening to the show, my name's Alan Ford. This is CliffCentral.com, and that was Chris White from Dire Straits. And, of course, in studio, we've got Wessel Oendahl and Lara Kleinans from Rock of Ages. So we're going to be rocking in Joburg, rocking in Pretoria. There's oh, you're not on tonight. You're not on.
Not so, tonight, but so we're from Wednesday onwards. But it's our last week, so the people better move quickly.
And then you've got Forever Plaids, which is going to be brilliant. That's happening. Yeah. And then you're doing a lot of children's theatre. And the Christmas musical.
Mm.
We've got lots of
so much, so much. But we can chat about that later.
We're going to get you back in studio.
We'll get me back.
I'm going to get you. You're going to sing and you're going to bring the piano.
Okay, that's a deal.
Okay, so don't miss these shows, and you can go to CompuTicket or you can book, go to Monte Cassino's website to see all the magic work that you guys are doing.
Yeah.
And Laura, thank you for singing and for being with us, and kind of be cool to be on a show with Dire Straits. Huh?
That's amazing. This is unreal.
It's quite unreal.
Thank you so much, Alan.
Welcome to one of the first debut interviews, I would imagine. I'm sure you've done, but welcome.
Thank you so
much. So we'll get you back in studio to do some more fun things.
I would love to come back.
And you enjoy your massage from Skinty.
I certainly will.
Now, I want to end off with you, Paul.
Yeah.
Dinner Time Stories essay. I want to tell you, so this is when you know you have a problem. Okay, not that, firstly, the food is delicious and it is 7 courses, but no, beyond delicious. But the thing here is, Paul, is that I was so obsessed with this. I had a dream about this little chef. Okay? I went back the next night for the same thing.
Wow.
Now, I don't do that. You know, so that is why I'm saying this has got to be one of the best experiences that you do. Please, everyone that's listening, you've got a book for this Dinner Time Story essay show. It is the corporate. If you want to impress anyone, can I tell you, it's even a date night. You might not talk to one another, and maybe you shouldn't.
Let the
food talk for itself. But literally, I'm saying this because it's just really, really brilliant food. I want to talk about communal eating, because you sit at the table, and then I was by myself the first night alone, and I sat with people and they became my mates. And on that note, I want to tell you, because Cameron's listening, so Cam is writing his matric exams, he's starting soon, and he was sitting across the table, his dad brought him. Cam, it's a shout out. He wanted a shout. Cam, Dire Straits, a shout out. How's that? Okay. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Cam's just say, Ma, who's Dire Straits? Okay, well, ask them. But so Cam, congratulations, do well in your matric exams. Okay, we want 6 distinctions, not 5, as we discussed on the table. But you sit with other people, and South Africans aren't used to this concept.
And it's the most incredible thing. Every single night we get this stunned silence while we're serving a mousse bouche, and everybody's sort of watching the room, and it's very tense, and it's exciting, but they're not sure what's going to happen. And then suddenly we hit them with the Arabian course, and it's a shared meal, and that is when the fun kicks in. And all of a sudden we're starting to build relationships with people that we've never seen or known before, and we force photography where they share WhatsApp numbers with one another send the photographs to one another, etc. And by the end of the night, they are best of friends. And we see it every single night, which is phenomenal. It's fantastic.
So how do we book?
Okay, so our website is up and running after a small diversion this morning.
Jacaranda crashed.
Oh, no.
I love it. Oh, no, after they were on Jacaranda.
Okay. Yeah, so
it was great to see, by the way, Martin Bester.
With Martin Bester this morning as well, so we're really doing all the radio stations today.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the website is up and running. It is dinnertimestories.co.za, and you can click on any one of the booking links, the multiple booking links on the website. Alternatively, you can go through to CompuTicket. CompuTicket are our ticket agents, and we are selling tickets for November. We are fully booked until the 2nd of November, and they are flying.
They are flying.
If you want to see this, which is something that you really don't want to get FOMO for, now's the time to book.
You guys are going to share.
We're definitely going to share.
And book it. How do we book it?
Okay, so you book CompuTicket.
Okay.
And you book dinnertimestories.co.za.
And I want to thank all my very special guests for joining us. Ben Foss, don't miss Benny Bushwhacker. It's happening around the country. Peter Dirk Ace, the Echo of a Noise happens at the Balalaika this weekend. Dire Straits Experience, the Dire Straits guys are all here in Pretoria. They're going to rock that stadium. We've got Rock of Ages and, of course, Forever Plaids going on at Monte Cassino. Don't miss Dinner Time Story South Africa. This show has been very full. My name is Alan Ford. This is cliffcentral.com. But I want to end off with Walk of Life. So this, if you don't know who this is, I mean, this is a thank you, Chris White, for joining us. Dire Straits, eh? this is CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com.